Good morning, everyone. We'll begin with prayer, the communion class. I thank the Lord for what he's doing. Dear Lord, I thank you for mightily moving in our lives. I thank you for blessing us in these last days. Help us to use all the time we have left for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
The Lord put on my heart this week to go to the Canaanite woman's faith. And I noticed in Matthew, this is Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And it's the same lesson that we had last week in theme. This is when verse 21 reads, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. So she's crying after them. She's behind them calling for him. But he answered not a word. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, Is it not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came near to the Sea of Galilee and went up to the mountain and sat down there. Now, Jesus dealt with something. She wanted something from him, and he came to bless people. And he was sent to the Jews first, that's true. But he dealt with many concepts in this one passage of scripture. The Canaanites were not, they didn't seek the Lord. They were known for not seeking the Lord, but being against God. And she's crying out to the Lord. He's teaching this to his disciples as well, because he did this in their hearing. And they wanted to cast her away. That was the thought of the Jews. The traditions can be, if we don't filter them out, they'll remain. Things are old concepts and things that interfere with the will of God. And Jesus is dealing with it using their concepts. He acted like a traditional Jew to her and in the sight of his people. But he's dealing with the problem at the same time. and then she persisted. But the Holy Spirit knew that she'd persist. The Holy Spirit knew that she was a woman of great faith. And the Holy Spirit will give you the perfect way to handle situations based on people's hearts. This is a very important part of communion. And the Lord will give me instructions similar to this and have me to handle problems similar to this. And I would learn from it. And I knew that God was faithful. He loves everybody, just like we know him. But he had to purge out an old mindset and give new concepts. And he did it in a systematic way. Now, this restores relationship. He's training his disciples, so everything that Jesus did was their training. He's also developing a relationship with the woman. You're not a second-class citizen to the Jews. You're a daughter of God through me. And that's what he represents. And she got it. Her daughter was, Jesus did away with that devil for her. He said, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." It's the same thing that God did in Job's case. Job didn't know that God told Satan that there is no man like him on the earth that fears God and shuns evil. Job didn't know God said that, but the Lord knew it. Now, this was an evaluation, because he said there's no man like him. And then the devil had to evaluate him too. He said, "But you fenced him about. I can't get to him." So the devil knew also that there was no man like Job. And to do that, they had to evaluate him against every person. And so the Lord knows when people are faithful, and he could have done it a lot of different ways, but he chose to do it this way. So he in a way, he appealed to their thought process, and then he dealt with it. And they saw the wisdom in the way they saw the heart of God in the situation. This is part of communion, because we get to know the Lord, how he deals with things and how he structures people, how he blesses others. And as a minister, I get the information to deliver. So I watch how God does things. And then I ask questions. And a lot of things happen in my life just like this. And it helped the lady to see that God loves her, she's important. And it helped his disciples to see, don't discount what I can do in the Gentiles. He said, "Great is their faith." And then the religious leaders, they wanted to kill him. They had no faith. They were full of sin. And the Lord will clear things up as we commune with him. We come to the Lord just like we are, and we grow from glory to glory. And he helps us to, he show us to how his heart. And then according to 1 Peter and also the teachings of Jesus, he wants us to love others just like he loves us. And when that happens, the door is open for the people to receive salvation. Everybody has to receive salvation. We let them know it's available, and then we show them that God, the love of God. And then we all share, saints, sinners, wise and foolish, we share the same problems, because we are in a war. Satan is trying to make us look like the world. He's trying to make the world look better than us. He's trying to keep people disconnected from God and feel that they don't need him. Why go to Jesus if you don't need him? That's the concept of Satan. But the Lord helps us heal in every way. And people walk by sight. And the Lord, if we show people his love, then they're going to be in a crisis, and then they're going to trust the people that love them, the people that show kindness. There are people who join gangs because gangs show kindness when they recruit people.
That's what Jehovah's Witnesses do too.
Yeah, they go to them and they tell them that they don't need Jesus, and and then they kind. You know, they don't see him. Yeah, they don't see Jesus like we do. He's not in their doctrine. He's not the Son of God, and because they keep running into Christians that preach a strong message, they talk about his death, but they don't talk about the resurrection. So, a false doctrine. Satan is cunning, and he cons people out of salvation, and they throw away a fortune. Now, in the natural, if you gave somebody, if you said, "I'll pay all your medical bills, I'll give you a brand new house, and you'll get whatever you need, you can ask and I'll help you," that's a good deal. This is precisely what Jesus did for us with salvation. We have everlasting life. We have he went to prepare a place for us, so we're going to live somewhere. We have healing for our bodies, our spirit, and our mind. We have, because a lot of people don't confess that, God put other weapons, such as the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. the chastisement of our peace was upon him. If you feel any way depressed, that you can quote, the chastisement of my peace is on him. I walk in peace. No situation can master me, because Jesus thought of everything. He gave us the whole kingdom. He even mentioned that it's the Father's pleasure to give us the whole kingdom and everything to come with it. But we have to receive it by faith. And people in the world, they have to receive it by faith. And the kingdom is given in seed form. The moment you believe, a healing process begins in your spirit. You have a brand new spirit. And a healing process begins. And as you quote the word and apply the word of God to your life, the healing process, it branches out to your body, to every part of your life. Then the Holy Spirit comes on us to help us use that same faith and broadcast it to others by the anointing. So the anointing can break the yoke so people can see God plainly. The preaching is their grace. That's the grace that gives them faith. And the Lord gives people faith through our mouth, what we say. We speak his word, and that gives people a chance to have faith. And it grows in them. If there's any light in their heart, they'll cling to that word. And it's detectable. Everybody knows that it's real. Even though they don't know it in their mind, they can tell. The love of God he left heaven, came to earth, became a man, gave us example, and died, laid his life down for us to bring us back to the Father. I heard all kind of things before I got saved. Even though my dad was a pastor, I heard all kind of other religions and thoughts and along the way. But Jesus left heaven for me. I said, that's God. Because it coincides with everything else. He gave us fruit that tastes good, a world that's beautiful, good things. It's consistent. You know, when you look at it logically, that kind of love is consistent. If God was mean, our food wouldn't taste right. and you know, the sky would be black or something. We wouldn't look beautiful. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God did it. That's his handiwork. And so the love of God is consistent with the blessings of nature. And the Lord said, if you bear fruit, his disciples, they followed him. They had enough faith to follow him wherever he went. They were bearing fruit. Jesus said he will purge us that we bear more fruit. So with this example, he purged more of that mindset of the Jews. A mindset is hard to change. It takes light to do it. He gave them light by example. And then the way we live gives people light. This is also communion, because we get to know the Lord as we seek him. And by our faith, we yield our life to his. We say, okay, Lord, that's better than what I was doing, so I'm going to push what I was doing aside, and I'm going to receive what you're doing. But I got questions. It's all right. Sometimes I have questions about it. I say, well, why do you do it that way? It's all right. I ask him anything. And then he teaches at our own pace. Sometimes he answers me immediately, and sometimes he gives me more than I thought about. And sometimes he gives me examples just like these to help me train. He helps us train in him. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But once he guides us, then ask him all the questions you can come up with. That's what Gideon did by laying the fleece out. He wanted to be solid here. When you're solid in your heart, now you can walk in agreement with the Lord, because old thoughts will get in the way of the relationship. And he cleared a lot of problems up in this one thing. And Matthew wrote about it, and Mark wrote about it. And Mark said that she was from Greece, but she was a daughter of Canaan. So she may have moved to Canaan from Greece, but she was part of that culture. But nevertheless, the statement Jesus made to help her lives on. It's a good example. Because some of the most outstanding people were Gentiles, even in the days when the Word of God was still being written. And these are the days of Acts 2. We're just new people. And our testimonies is just as good as theirs. And it's built, it's based on what they did. All right, we're about out of time.
I think the Phoenicians, which settled in that part of Palestine, if you will, were thought to have come from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
They sailors that came over and settled there. So I think that's where that came from,
And it's, this is a blessing. I'm glad that it was in there that way. Because if that, if we didn't have examples like these, then we'll say, well, God's not going to do everything for us like he would the Jews. But he does. He gives us the same blessings. And anybody that will believe him. And, you know, I used to sell Amway years ago. I learned a lot of good business principles from them. They said, if you want this to work, tell everybody you know. They said the most unlikely people will become direct distributors. He said, you tell some people, most people, they're not going to get in it. That's all right. But try to get them to buy from you. If they buy from you, they're helping. He said, but sometimes the most unlikely people will get excited and they'll become direct distributors. And it's true. Some of the most unlikely people will do it and some people won't. So when people get saved, some people are just like Paul. They're going to push the envelope to the limit. They're going to seek God to no end and do all that's in his heart. And some people are just going to enjoy salvation. And we thank God for just the people that would get saved, and I do too. I mean, that's, you won. You're saved, you won. But some people are going to go after God and do exploits. And you never know who they'll be. They're every age, every race. Some people are just going to take the word of God and run with it. Michael and Jim, they went and preached in a bar. They went on a bar and took a chair and stood on it and preached. I said, I like these guys. When I first came, I said, wow, that's awesome. You know, a friend of mine, Odie Beery, did the same thing. He went in a club and just sang gospel songs, and people started worshiping God. I like that. I wouldn't do it, but they did. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. You know, I love communion with the Lord. Verse 24 reads, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I love the Lord. Sometimes he'll do things just to make you ask questions. He'll do something and to see if you'll just seek him about it. And he does that all the time. I caught on to that. I said, Lord, you know I'm going to ask questions. But, okay. Dear Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for what you're doing in these days. Bless us all to go forward in you. Anoint us to do your perfect will with the remaining time we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.